Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you in the Lord's house this morning, and I wasn't shaking my head, and no, I'm not ready to preach or to come up here. I was just, and I don't mean anything bad by this, but I was just thinking, after a testimony like that, and after what we just went through this week in celebrating the greatest event that ever took place in the course of mankind, and nobody had a testimony. Everybody spent time with their families this past week, and hopefully they were good times. And if they were, praise God for them. And if they were bad times, praise God for it anyway. He says in all things to give him thanks. Just be thankful that you're able to have some time with them. But we should be thankful, my friends, what we have just experienced, what the greatest gift given to man. And if it wasn't for that gift, guess what? We would not be sitting here today. If Jesus said, "No, Father, I'm not going to be willing. I'm not going to do this. You'll have to find something else." Guess what? This would all be done and said and over with. He would have done called an end to it. But because of what Jesus did, we have hope. We have hope. And you have hope. And just praise God for what he has done for us this week alone. And each and every day and every moment that we get up and that we have breath, and that we have opportunity to even to say a few things on his behalf, to glorify his name. Let's take every opportunity and every chance and every moment that we can to lift up his name. I mean, did we have a good time celebrating Christmas this year? I know that you did. Believe me, I've seen multiple rolls after rolls after rolls of pictures, especially on Facebook, from a lot of your families. And guess what? They all look like you were having a pretty good time. A lot of you opening up presents. A lot of you stuffing food in your face. That's all right. I'm not complaining. I was probably one of them. But we've got a lot to be thankful for. God has done so much for us. And it just doesn't stop at Christmas time. It just doesn't stop on just that moment in that day. It continues every day throughout the year. There's not a time and a moment that we would say that, well, God's grace and his goodness is sufficed for now, and he's appeased for a while, and he's appeased me for a little while, so I'm full up enough of it. You know, every day that I get up, I'm thinking, boy, I want a little bit more. I just want a little bit more of God's grace, because you know what? I need it. Every day I need the grace of God in my life. The strength of the Lord in my life, the hope of what he brings to me in my life. Because we got issues to deal with. We got this world to deal with. And if we're not careful, we can allow a lot of these things to take an effect upon us. We can allow them sometimes to bring us down and to get us in a place of despair and a place of sadness whenever we have nothing in this world to get us there. Other than us allowing ourselves to do that. We have a choice, don't we? Every single day we have a choice how that we're going to get up and how that we're going to live and the things that we're going to do. I looked up the word hope this morning. It says a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. So not just upon things just happening by chance, but there are things that says in this little definition that are upon our part. There's things that are upon our side when we think about hope in life and the hope of a greater life and a hope of each and every day building it and it being greater and better. A lot of it is upon our own way of looking at things, our expectation of what we desire in life. Do we expect good things? Do we desire good things? Do we hope for good things? Or have we allowed the world to sometimes to get us down and allow us sometimes to look at the despair of this world? And if we do that, if we look at the world, you better believe it's not going to be long and you're going to be in a place of despair. I mean, how can we not look into the world and the way that the world is? But you see, that's not where we're supposed to be looking at. Our eyes are to be focused upon who? Upon Jesus. Isn't that right? Isn't that what this book tells us here? Our eyes are to be focused upon him. And if we do not take our eyes off from him, Guess what? We're going to make it to heaven one of these days. But the book also tells us that if we do allow our eyes to be taken off from Him, if we allow our eyes to be taken upon the things of the world, the despair of the world and the problems of life and the things that we have to deal with in life, they can bring us down to the point of, if we're not careful, isn't it? I believe we can say this true, as the Bible would tell us. As the sower went out and sowed the seed, sometimes the seed got sown out, but you know, because of the problems of life, and the despair of things in this world, sometimes that seed got choked out. And if we're not careful, if we look onto the things of this world, and if we don't look on the hope of Christ, we can allow things to get choked out. That should be our main focus in what we look and what we see. Because as the Bible would tell us, if all that we have to hope for, my friends, is in this world, if this is it, if this is all that we've got, if this is all that there ever will be, wow, what a sad day that it would be for us. Isn't that right? What a horrible day that would be if all that we, if all we were just consumed about everything about this life, and we didn't have a hope and a desire of something greater than here, of something that is much more blessed than what we have here, something more attainable than what we have here, because there's things here in this world that we're never going to be able to obtain. There's things that we desire and we strive for them and we work for them, but for some reason it's just not meant for me to obtain those things. I want to tell us that each and every one of us here today have an attainable goal in this life. If we will just have the desire in our heart to look into something greater, something bigger, something much better, and that is the hope of Jesus in our life. Does it get any better than that? Do you have any greater hope than that? Do you have any greater expectation than that? Because I hope that it lies in a spiritual life and that it doesn't lie in a worldly life. Because you know what you're going to be if all that you desire and all that you strive for and if all that you consume your life upon is upon the things of this world, guess what you're going to be? Sadly disappointed. Sadly disappointed. Well, you see the world that these billionaires and people that you would think have just got everything. They've got all the money in the world. They got all the material things of the world. I guarantee you, if you go talk to them, they probably are some of the most loneliest people in the world because they think that they have achieved it. And they keep desiring more and more and more of something that's, guess what, is not going to lead them any place any greater than where that they're at right now. You may think that because you've got this goal in your mind of to obtain here, that once you reach that pinnacle, oh, that's going to be enough right there. Everything's going to be fine at that point. I reached that point of retirement. I've got a bank full of money. I'm going to sit back and just enjoy my life. Well, as we both always know, that when we get to the age of retirement, guess what? Your life is just about expired anyway anymore. You know, I'm serious. Think about it, you know. The best years of our lives are that we're able to do things, that we're able to go, and we're able to really experience life. It's done been gone, if we just want to be honest with ourselves. We may still have the desire, and we may still have the ability to go out and to go on a few trips here or there. Hey, and that's wonderful. That's great. But to have the strength that you had whenever you were in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s, where's that at? It's done went bye-bye, hadn't it? It's no longer there anymore. Because you know what? That is whenever we are to work. That is when we are to labor. And I know that we may think that, well, that's what I'm laboring for. That's why I'm working now. I'm working to build up those things that I want and those things that I desire. But my friend, if you are totally focused upon this place, I'm not saying it's not good to prepare for tomorrow. We have to prepare tomorrow. But if your main focus, if your number one goal in life is to prepare for this place, how sad you're going to be at the end of the way. You're going to find yourself lonely, afraid, in despair, because that's what this world will bring to us if we hold our hopes and our dreams and our desires here. But do you realize what you've got an opportunity here for? I know that you do. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, you know what it is that you have a hope in. Because He abides within you.
And he's given you a desire and a focus to go beyond, to transcend beyond this place, to think about something greater, about something more meaningful. Hope. You know, when we go into this new year, we have ways that we can go into this. You know, I've heard a lot of preachers say, I don't agree with them, but I've heard a lot of preachers say, you should not set New Year's resolutions. You just shouldn't do that. Well, you know what I'm going to tell you to do? Get out a piece of paper and write down every one that you can think of that you want to do something a little bit better in this next year coming up. Now, you may not be able to be successful in all of them, but if we don't have a desire to look into something greater, into something better, and a greater desire to do more, to want to be more, to expect more, to desire, to hope for more, what are we going to hope for? You know what we're going to start hoping in? We're going to start looking at the news a little bit more, and believe me, where's your hope going to go there? This next year is an election year. Where's your hope going to go there? It's nothing but despair if we look here. But it's nothing but joy and love and peace and everlasting if we look to the Lord. If we look to the one that gives to us what it is that we truly need. He gives to us what we have need of here. Whether we think that he does, or whether we expect it, or whether we know that he's going to, I don't know how much more the Bible has to reflect upon what it is that God does for us, and how that he takes care of the fields, the flowers, how he takes care of the animals and takes care of the birds and takes care of all these things without them asking, without them desiring, and it's just because he loves them and he does these things. And he loves us any less? These things he said that he will give to us, that he will supply for us. So what are we to be focused upon? What are we to hope for? What are we to reach into? Are we supposed to just be like half of these third world countries and just worry about being helped by government, being supplied by government, by their handout and by what their orders are? That's sufficient enough? Well, I hope not. I hope that our mind is not focused upon this place. That it's looking at the one that has so much more for us. So are you hopeful for this next year? Have you got some things that you want to do better? Have you got some things that you've really stopped and thought about, other than somebody telling you, don't think about it? If you don't think about it, if you don't aspire to it, then you don't have to worry about it, you know? You know, that's like, you know, who isn't, you know, in my shape getting ready to think about, hey, you know, it's time to start a diet. You know, it's time to start working towards something a little bit more healthier. Who's not thinking that, or who isn't that desiring that? But you know what? If you don't ever start that, now you may not succeed. Believe me, I haven't succeeded many times. Many times. But you know what? There may be that one time that I do. And you know what? If we don't desire it, if we don't try to reach for it, if we don't try to gain a greater spirituality of our life, wouldn't that be a great goal right there, is to draw closer to the Lord and have it measured. Measure it. You know, how do we have things happen in our life and to know that they've happened? It's by looking into what takes place in our life. A measurement unto what it is, how that we are successful in life. Goals, when we set goals, we set things that we would like to see happen, things that we would like to see obtain, things that we can measure by, that we have grown or that we have done or that we have achieved. I mean, we do those things in our life, in our earthly life, in our materialistic life. A lot of times we make 5, 10, 15, 20-year goals. This is where that I would like to be at this point in my life. I'd like to be here. I would like to have so much of this in the bank account. I would like to have this house paid off by this certain amount of time. I would like to be able to go and be on this vacation and this something that we have really worked and desired for. We all have goals in our life that we desire and that we work towards to achieve. But where's our spiritual life? Where's our working into that? The thing that really matters, the thing that is going to be forever, the things that is going to be eternal. Oh, how horrible that it would be if we consumed our whole life just upon reaching it and obtaining the goals of the materialistic part of life. And without even giving consent or giving thought to the spiritual side. It's easier, it seems like, to obtain towards the materialistic because it's attainable in our minds. It's visual. It's able to be seen. It's able to be touched. It's able to be felt. Do you think that your spiritual life isn't just the very same thing? Do you think that it's not attainable? Do you think that you can't see it? Do you think that you can't feel it? Do you think that you can't taste it? That you can't touch it? That it's not tangible in your life? I say when we start thinking about 2016, let's start thinking about some goals of the Lord. And that's for individuals, families, churches. We sometimes like to criticize other churches because of their growth. You know, if a church is growing that well, and if they got that many people, well, they just got to be doing something wrong. Well, you know what? Maybe they're just doing something right. Maybe they're doing something right. Maybe they have those goals. Maybe they have those visions. Maybe they have a desire to work on something other than the materialistic things of this world. Go to these other churches and look and see what they do. They have a wide variety of groups, a wide variety of people that do what? They spend more time outside of church dealing with church than what they do whenever they're here at church. Their life is based upon what they do for the Lord. It's not based upon what they do for themselves. You want growth in your life? Focus upon Jesus. Look unto Him. And you'll have growth that you've never had before. And that's for all of us when we look into this new year coming up. What is our desire? And are we going to even focus on that? Are we going to even entertain that thought? And when we count down, or if most of us are, most of you are like me, I'm going to be sleeping at midnight on that night anyway. But when we count down in our own self, and that new year starts within us, are we going to desire to attain anything greater, anything different? Or are we just going to, continue and just hope that it doesn't get any worse? Just hope that it doesn't get worse. Maybe to take an opposite stance and say, I'm going to hope, and not only going to hope, I'm not only going to expect it, I'm not only going to have a desire for it, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to plan some things that's going to get me there. We can take this and just put it into the natural sense if we would like to and see how anybody gets a business, how anybody grows a business, how anybody does greater in life. It's because that we have a desire to do better. And if we are as individuals, if we desire better things for us in our spiritual life, guess what we're going to work towards? We're going to see what it is that's going to get me there. How am I going to get there in my life? How am I going to get there? What things can I do in order to achieve this? And then we have to start implementing those things, don't we? I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. I may not be telling you anything that you want to hear. I may not be telling you anything that you're going to try. I'm just trying to make you be aware that if you desire it, that it is attainable. That it's here for each and every one of us. Whether we want to move up, whether we want to have a positive attitude in this next year coming up. Maybe you've had a rough year this past year. A lot of us have. A lot of us has dealt with a lot of adversity in life, a lot of troubling things in family and troubling things in church. We've dealt with a lot of things, but you know, it's all within our ability and our desire if we want to achieve something greater. Do we? I have a couple of scriptures here that I'd like to read to you, and not very familiar scripture. I mean, just a couple of Psalms here that, you know, one that you would think that a lot of times are typically read at funerals, and they're actually on the back of a lot of those little funeral cards. But whenever I read the 23rd Psalm, you talk about an optimistic hope. You talk about a picture of God's grace in our life. There's not a greater picture than that. Of how that this psalmist, David, how that he displayed and how it is that he spoke of what God is for him in his life. And that, guess what? God is no less of what he is in our life than what he was in David's life. These things that we see, that we read here in the Bible, it's no different in our life, you as an individual. It's no different in your life than what it was in those individual lives that we look to and we think of how spiritual that they were and we think about how strong that they were and how much of a power that they had with God. They were men and women just like that we are, dealing with life just as we are. Failures in life just like we have. They wasn't perfect. Look at the genealogy of Jesus' life, of those that came through Joseph, and look at that. Believe me, they were far from perfect, my friends. There was a lot of messed up people in that genealogy. Did you know that? A lot of problems in their lives. But you know what it is? It's about your choice. And what you desire and what you want. Is it of here or is it of there? Are you going to lay up treasures here or are you going to lay up treasures there? Are you going to focus upon people that need your help, upon just the things of here? Or are you going to use the things of here to help to transcend them to the more important things of life? Because it can. Here, what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd today? Do you know what a shepherd does? He takes care of his flock. Morning, noon, and night. He never leaves the flock. He's always taking care of it. Switching out jobs, doing something. They're working together, trying to make sure that everything is safe, everything that is taken care of. A lot of times I think about that shepherd's hook, you know, how that it'll just kind of guide him through a little bit and how he just moves him around. And I often think of that shepherd's hook sometimes too, about where guy gets sometimes in his life and where he has to kind of strap it around his neck a little bit and pull him back in. Come on, get back in where that you're supposed to be at. You're starting to get away. You're starting to stray away. You're starting to allow things. You're starting those sounds that are happening over here in the woods, those things that you're scared of, those things that you're doubting from. You're starting to allow yourself to move away from the fold, move away from the group here. There's strength in numbers, my friends. If we want to stay out there alone and by ourselves, guess what? It won't be long and we'll be consumed. There's strength in numbers. You know that? Bible says that a threefold cord is hardly broken. Numbers wrapped around Christ. Him being the center point and function of our life. That's where our strength lies. Is the Lord your shepherd today? Is he the one that is protecting you? The one that is guarding you? The one that is guiding you? The one that is feeding you? Is he your shepherd? The one that is taking care of you in every way of your life? Because see, as a sheep, we don't really know much of anything. Read up on sheep a little bit. They had to have a shepherd, didn't they? Because they all would have went their own way and they all would have been consumed by the things of the world. They needed to be corralled. They needed to be brought together. We're sheep today, my friends. We are sheep. We need each other. And we need the shepherd more than what we realize. Without him, we are doomed. And if you don't have a shepherd in your life, if you think that you're out here some kind of rebel floating on your own and everything's going to be fine, well, get ready to be sadly disappointed again. You say, well, I'm doing fine up to now. Guess what? Get ready. It's coming. It's coming. You're not going to be successful in this life. You're not going to definitely be successful in life, period, that if your functioning, if your ability and everything is wound upon what you're thinking is yourself. Who is your shepherd today? Is he your shepherd? Is he? Why do you think that he says, I shall not want? Why? Because the shepherd takes care of everything. We just have to realize, we have to understand that we have to hope in him. We have to rely upon him because he has everything that we have need of. Everything. What are you hoping for in this next year? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the next year? That's coming up pretty soon. Friday will be January the 1st. Again. 2016. Wow. It's hard to believe that it's that, isn't it? I mean, when you get to the point where you're able to tell young kids that, well, I was born in 65, and they look at you like, what? You was born all the way back in the 1900s? I'm serious. Kids look at you that way. Like, really? You're that old? How quickly life has just went by for us all, hasn't it? We can remember points and times in our life. You know, a lot of these TV shows that come up, these Christmas specials that come up, I love to watch them. I really do. You know why? Because it transforms me back into a time in my life that I remember watching them. I remember curled up on the couch or down in the floor with Dad or with Mom. Don't you remember that? Watching those Christmas specials, little Charlie Brown Christmas or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Or the little drummer boy, which you don't ever see anymore. I remember, and I know most of you kids don't know what I'm talking about, probably. But don't you remember those moments and those times, how quickly and how fleeting life is? And here we are, 2016, getting ready to start, and what are we attaining? What is our desire? What are we reaching for? Are we reaching for our shepherd? The one that will help us to not to want so much of this, but so much more of him. So much more of that is going to make a difference in your life. You know this whole chapter. I don't need to read it all to you. You know of how that he comforts us, how that he guides us, that he molds us, and that he shapes us, and that he protects us. Why does he do those things? Because he loves you, my friend. He loves you with something that you do not understand. He loves me with something that I don't understand. I cannot begin to fathom the love that he has for me. When I look at my life and I wonder, why in the world would you care so much for me? And then I start thinking, what am I doing for him? What is my goal for him? What is my reaching into him? What does he want my goals in life to be? Isn't that a good way to look at it? Not just always so much of how do I see it and what it is that I want. What does Jesus want for me in my life? What does he want for us? He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to have peace beyond understanding of this place. He wants us to have an outreach and to those that we love, and to those that maybe aren't so lovable to. He wants us to have a love that He had to those that did and wanted nothing more than to kill Him. Isn't that hard to understand? Isn't that hard to fathom how much that He loved those very people that were trying to snuff His life out here? But He died for them. No less and no different. He was born into this world for them, no differently than what He was for us. So when we start thinking about life and we start thinking about what He's done and what He's desiring, what He wants for us, when do we start thinking about, Lord, what do You want me to do? What do You want me to reach into? What expectation, what hope do You want me to have in this life? What hope do You want me to have for others in this life? What hope do You want for those maybe that are here today that may not know Jesus? What expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen do You want me to have for those? What would that be? That they would have the very same hope in their life. The desire to know more about Jesus, to know of Jesus, and to know Him personally. Is He your shepherd today? Is He your shepherd? Over here in the 27th Psalm, the beginning of that chapter, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When we go into this next year, we could be afraid of a lot of things. We could allow a lot of things in this world to cast fear upon us. But I believe the Bible also tells us that perfect love casts out fear. It depends upon what our hope is. It depends upon what our desire is, what our once and our strivings are, what our expectations are. What do you expect this next year? Really, I mean, stop and think about that for just a few moments in a day's course every once in a while. What do you expect in life? What do you expect this next year? Are you expecting good things? Or are you expecting anything at all? Do we even think about that? Where everything's going pretty good, just as it is, the same old is fine by me. Isn't that kind of a bad attitude, really? To not want to desire something more? To not want to desire something greater of the Lord? For me, because He's there with endless strength and power and hope for us in our life and direction for us in our life, endless amounts of it. It's okay, Lord. I'm fine with everything just as it is. Yeah, let's just leave it as it is. That way I don't have to expect anything. I don't have to desire anything more. I don't have to really work towards anything greater because I'm just pretty happy the way things are right now. Wow. What are we missing? What is there for us to obtain to? Fear is a crippling thing. Fear is a very crippling thing in our life. And when we don't have the answers of the future, and we don't have the answers of the possibilities of what could be, believe me, that fear will cripple us sometimes to the point where we won't move forward. We won't desire things greater because we're more in fear of dealing with it and more in fear of striving and winning and fighting. With hope, there is a fight that has to be fought. Do we understand that? I mean, when we look at the definition of feeling of expectation, there's a fight right in that, right there. Because the devil, guess what? He does not want you to have any hope. He doesn't want you to have a feeling of expectation. He doesn't want you to have a feeling of aspiring to something greater with more meaningfulness in your life. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be brought low, to feel drowned out, to feel the victim, to feel the everybody's against me. Feel like there's no sense in trying to move forward, because I usually just take two steps forward and then three steps back. True. Very true. But how do you look at that? If you take three steps forward and two steps back, you're making progress, aren't you? Do you look at that side of it? Well, I'm still moving forward, even if those things and those setbacks do happen in my life. It's how do you deal with those setbacks? How do you deal with those adversities in life? Do you allow them to cut your legs right out from underneath of you and say, well, there's just no sense in it? We've done that. This is one thing that I've heard, and it just annoys me to hear somebody say, well, we've done that before, so there's just no sense in doing it again. Well, I've tried, so I'm going to stop trying because there's just no sense in it. Well, guess where you're going to get that way? On the bench. Just sit on the bench. Don't get in the game. Don't get in there and fight. Don't get in there for the victory. Just sit on the bench. And just stay out of the game. But you know what? That same bench warmer is going to want, whenever the victory's won, they're going to want the joy of the victory. Well, I kept the bench warm. Isn't that good enough? No, it's not good enough, my friend. The Lord don't want a bunch of bench warmers. He wants people that want to get in it. In it to win it, to fight for it, to desire it, to have an expectation of something greater. And we got a new year starting up that we can write some things down that we plan. I'm not saying you're going to achieve. Don't go into it and say, I'm going to write it down, but it ain't going to happen. Well, then don't even write it down. But if your expectation is something greater, and if your desire is something more, and you can think about what it is that God wants to see in your life, and that you want to see in your life, a more sense of happiness, a more sense of joy, a more sense of contentment in this life, a greater relationship with Christ, a greater relationship with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your neighbors. There's so much that we can attain to, that we can desire for, and that we can put into motion the things, that just the little things here and there that can change our life desperately. But what are the two things you're going to have? Three things. You're going to have to hope, and what's the definition of that? To expect it, an expectation to it, and a hope for it, and a desire to work towards it. Without those things, it's not going to happen. But with those things, stand back and watch what God will do for you in your life. If you really want it, it's up to us, isn't it? It's all up to us. God says it is in your hands right now. What did you not do in 2015 that you may have thought that you would have desired to have seen done? Did we just scratch that off the list? Say, well, it didn't work in 2015. I guess there's no sense in even trying it in 2016. Maybe you don't want to try it the same way. Maybe there's a new angle to it. How do you know this? You got to talk to the one with the plan. Because you don't know nothing about 2016 yet, do you? Has anybody got any insight on 2016 you want to tell us all? Anybody got something? I think y'all got nothing, don't you? Every one of us. We've got nothing for it. So we have to go to the source that does. What do I desire, Lord? What do I need in my life for 2016? Help me have the goals to work towards that. But I can see a difference in my life and see a difference in my family's life, see a difference in my loved one's life, see a difference in my church's life. Isn't that what we want? Or is that what we want? Choices, decisions to make. It can make us greater. It can keep us the same. Or it can put us to sleep. A lot of times we're in one of the three categories, aren't we? Who is your shepherd this morning? The one that's going to help you to reach and to achieve and to desire to these things? Or is your guidance up on the face of this world? Is your shepherd, is you the one that's leading you, the prince of this world? I tell you, because you can't have it both ways, my friend. Either Christ is guiding your life, and as sad as this sounds, but either Satan or Christ is guiding your life. One of the two. If your life is about man and about men and about self, then it's of the world. Who's the prince of this world? Satan is, my friend. If you want to achieve things greater in this world for the glory of God, you want to see things greater for you, of your spiritualness in this life, that's what's going to change people. That's changeable in people's lives, is your spiritual life growing and getting closer to the Lord. Why? Because everything changes about us once we become closer to the Lord. Don't we understand that? Our prayer life is much more meaningful and it's much more powerful whenever we get closer to God. You know, why is that? Well, because when we get closer to God, we know more of what it is that we need to pray for. Isn't that right? The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervency and righteousness transcends anything and everything. Who is your shepherd today? Who is God in your life? What are your plans for this new year? Have you got some goals? You got some hopes and desires? I hope that you do. I hope for you that you do, and that you'll see those things transpire right before your eyes, because you're hoping in the one that can produce them. Jesus can produce things in your life. He can change people's hearts and their minds and their thoughts. Your loved ones that you think that are not attainable, the Lord has got a way of getting a hold of people. He's got a way of helping them to think upon the right path, upon the right things, the right choices. They have to ultimately make that choice. What will it be for you? What do you desire in this time to come up? Is he your shepherd today? I hope and pray that he is. Song leader, give us a song. Is he your shepherd? Is he the leader of your life? Is he the one that's going to guide you through this next year to greater heights, greater things in life? Well, I sure hope so. This next year could be, boy, above and beyond wonderful. It could be if we allow it to. Would you stand with us, please?